Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
I'm glad to be back here this morning, and glad to be with you all, and I love the Bible. Can I hear you say amen? I love the Bible, and it has been a good source of comfort for me. It's been a good source of blessing. I had a few things to say about my dad at the graveside ceremony, and I've done funerals for people that I've never met in my life, didn't know anything about them, and there's just kind of a few things that you can do, and so on. But I knew my dad, and I knew him inside and out. And I've said this before. I knew my dad's strengths, and I knew my dad's weaknesses, and none of them bothered me a bit. He was still my dad. But anyway, the Lord just helped me with a lot of scripture during that time, and I love the Bible, and I love the establishment of the Bible and what it says. And you cannot contradict the Word of God. It does not contradict itself. Can I hear you say amen? And it'll teach us, and it'll edify us, and it'll bless us, and it'll give us hope. And so that when you stand in a situation in life where you're closing the lid of a casket of a loved one, you've got something to hang on to. Amen? You've got something to hang on to. And somebody said, well, you meet him in heaven. And I read this morning, and I'm going, no. Actually, I'll meet him in the clouds. Amen? And he gets to go first, and that's fine with me. Paul, we're still dealing with, if I remember where we left off, we're still dealing with Acts chapter 20, and I'm just going to read one verse there. We're going to go over to 2 Peter, but Paul is dealing with this thing about wolves. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. And I want you to think about that word perverse. We use that in a lot of different ways. We use a lot of different connotations. Normally when someone is perverted, that means that they have gone out of the norm of what is biblical and what is acceptable as far as the relationship of a husband and wife is concerned. And anything that deviates outside of that, we call it a perversion, or we call them a pervert or something like that. But I want you to notice that the word perverse has the word verse in it. Okay? And this idea of things being perverted, you can take what somebody says and you can pervert it. You can change it. You can make it bad, or you can twist it around. And when it says they're speaking perverse things, he's not talking about what's on MTV. Okay? That's not the context. The context, he says, the wolves are going to come in among you. And last time I looked, we did not have a TV screen up behind the pulpit with MTV on it. You know, now that I've said that, I'm pretty sure probably somewhere there's a church that will or has already. And I kid you, there's a church down here in Springfield that the so-called pastor was doing a deal. He said he was going to do a deal on hell. And it was a four-part series. And you think, well, that's good, you know. To kick off the sermon series, he's got a rock band up on the stage. The lead singer's dressed like Alice Cooper. If you don't know who that is, don't bother. But he's dressed like Alice Cooper. And they're up there singing the song, the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil. Now, I want to tell you something. I've listened to that song. I've preached on that song. And I've used that song in some videos that we've done. And I want to tell you what, that song, Sympathy for the Devil, is one of the most perverse, wicked, out of the mouth of hell songs that's ever been produced in the world. And why is a church singing that song as part of their worship, sir? That's perverted. So we're talking about not what everybody's watching on TV this morning, instead of being the house of God. We're talking about what's going on in the church. Okay? They're among us, They will be in and among our own selves, and they will speak perverse things. They will talk about the world. They'll talk about things between a husband and a wife ought not be talked about in public. I believe in privacy. Amen. Listen, leave that at home. Okay? We're not going to talk about it here. Okay? But they seem to fill your head, the average church member's head, that if they're really going to have a good relationship with God, they ought to have this little good thing going between the husband. They ought to have it spicy and all this. That's just that's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and it just makes me mad. Amen? Is it okay if I get mad every now and then? Okay. But anyway, they're going to speak perverse things and to draw away disciples after them. And that's one of the marks of a false prophet or a wolf or someone who is teaching or giving lectures or preaching or has a ministry, a radio, TV, a book or whatever, a web ministry or whatever it is that their goal is not to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ and lead you to the Scriptures. Their goal is to draw away. They want followers because it makes them feel good. The more people they've got watching their website, or the more people they've got reading their books or listening to the radio program or whatever, the more people they've got, the more justified they feel in what they're doing. And their goal, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And there has to be in my life, there has to be in your life, there has to be in everybody's life, a time where we just get along with God and say, God, check my motives. Check my motives. If my motives are not right in what I'm doing, then if you can just gently lead me away from it, that's fine. But if you can't take the rod and whip the fire out of me and get me out of that mess, somebody say amen. I mean, God will do it both ways for you. Amen. He'll gently lead you out and say, now, come on, now we're not doing right. Oh, okay, that's fine, God. But when we get bullheaded, God will get the rod out after us. Amen. And I'll say this too. Anytime something happens in your life, as a born-again Christian, you're supposed to get along with God and say, God, are you trying to say something? Are you trying to deal with me? And that was one of those instances. And the Scripture came to mind. I said, God, I really need some comfort right now. And the Holy Ghost whispered, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And God did a little correcting in me during that time. And I appreciate that. I love the Lord. Amen. I just love Him. But anyway, when they try to draw away disciples unto themselves, unto their own ministry, unto their purpose, unto this and that and the other, they're always going to deviate from the Scriptures. They will always deviate from the Scriptures. There has not been one person yet that has been a false prophet that has not deviated from the Scriptures somehow, some way, or perverted the Scriptures, or changed the Scriptures. I'll give you the name of a guy that people write me about every now and then. His name's Arnold Murray. He's got some big deal down there in Arkansas. Now, have you guys ever heard of him? This guy's crazy. Okay. Anyway, he's got a big TV show on called Shepherd's Chapel, and he sits there and expounds on the Bible, and he's got all these ideas and theories, and people just, I guess, all over the world are following after this guy. But you need to listen to him one time, and you'll get it. Okay, you listen to his show one time and you'll get it, because he'll pull out an old Bible like this old King James Bible, and then somebody will ask him a question. Hey, Pastor Murray, blah blah blah. He says, well, right here it says, you know, this and that and the other. He said, now in the original languages, however, they've done this all wrong here in the Bible. Here in the original languages, what this really means, and then he starts recreating and rewriting and retranslating the Scriptures, and he has done that in thousands upon thousands of places. It is the Arnold Murray Scripture. It's not the Holy Ghost Scripture, is what it is. And he's come up with all these wild, wacky. I didn't know, Brady, you remember something wacky, some false doctrine he's put out there. Okay, he believes in this serpent seed of, serpent seed of Cain. The Bible doesn't teach that. But when he retranslates the Bible, it makes sense. Oh, that's what it really meant. Oh, okay. And I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost has not been sitting around on the sidelines waiting for Arnold Murray to show up to give us all the divine truth of God. Somebody say amen. But his role was to draw in disciples unto himself. That's his purpose. And they will always, always either change take away or add to what's in this book. Always. They'll always do it. And so anyway, kind of get that in your mind. 2 Peter chapter 2. You get an old Bible college educated man like Mike Hoggard. Huh? I dropped out of two of them, yes. I dropped out of two Bible colleges. I did for a while what I was told to do. And that is, go through the original languages and look for something different that nobody would ever figure out. That's what I did, what I was told to do. Okay? And one day God said that we're not going to do that anymore, are we? And He's holding His rod, holding a rod out like this. Are we going to do this ever again? No. We're not going to do that ever again. I like the rod. I don't know about you, but I like that rod. Amen. And so anyway, I just believe what's in the Bible. I don't need to retranslate it. I don't need to change it. I just believe what it says, and I like what it says. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's just work our way down very quickly. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You have to speak evil of the King James Bible in order to have a cult. You have to do that. If you're going to teach false doctrine, you have to tell people this is not the truth. You have to establish that firmly in their minds. And you'd be amazed at the number of people all over this country that have already had that put in their minds that this is not true. And you cannot believe it. And they will speak evil of the way of truth. And I want to tell you something. This is the only way of truth that I know. This is it right here. And I say the only one that I know of, I can tell you there's not another one out there that's of greater truth than this. There is no greater book in the world than this right here. And when they start speaking it, when you hear them say, now, a better translation says this, I'm here to tell you there is no better translation. It does not exist. Okay? When they hear you say, now, in the original Greek, I like what it says here in the original. I like what it says in the old Hebrew. I like what Dr. So-and-so said about this. When they start doing that, you just kind of, they may not right then be wolves, but they have picked up wolfish ways. Okay? And so anyway, and again, somebody was asking me about this. The Shekinah glory. Okay? And I never heard that here in this church. Never when I was growing up. I went to Oklahoma. And they got there's a lot of charismatic radio stations out there. Amen. Okay. These folks are from Tulsa and Lawton. And, Tulsa, that's where Oral was. Amen. Okay. And, there's just a lot of that stuff. And that's the first time I ever heard that word Shekinah. And I'm going, what is that? And they kept talking about Shekinah glory. Oh, the Shekinah glory fell. Oh, bless God. Well, the Shekinah glory came down on all of us and all this. And I'm going, I have never heard that before in my life. And I knew it wasn't in the Bible. I knew I'd never seen it in the Bible. And I searched for it and I didn't see it in there. And I'm going, that just doesn't sound right to me. And I've heard some good pastors, some good friends of mine use that. And when I found out what it was, I went, oh my, that's wicked. Okay, is what it is. And, Shekinah is not in the King James Bible, and the Shekinah is not in the Hebrew. It's not in the Bible, period. I don't care which one you look at, it's not there. But that doctrine permeates now into all realms of Christianity throughout this country and throughout the world. And you'll hear them sing songs about it. You'll hear them preach about it. You'll hear them talk about how, oh, the Shekinah glory fell, and boy, they were speaking in tongues, and there was miracles happen, and all this and that, and they call it the Shekinah glory. But the Shekinah is not even, I'll just tell you what it is, in case some of you don't remember or don't know. You weren't listening on that particular class that I taught. Shekinah comes from Jewish mysticism. You know, when Israel went in the land of Canaan and God told the Israelites, don't learn their religion, what did they do? They went in there and learned it. It's like telling kids, whatever you do, do not lift the lid of that cookie jar and look inside there. Don't you do that. Okay? As soon as their back's turned. Okay? And so anyway, God told them, don't do that. And they went into the land of Canaan and they picked up on all this nonsense. And the idea was that there was a goddess there. She was a fertility goddess. And fertility has a lot to do with fornication. That's the goddess. That's who she was. Her name was Mystery Babylon, and she's a mother of harlots. Okay? And that spirit pervaded the land of Canaan. And the Israelites went in there and picked up on that, and they infused that into their ideas of God. And the idea is that when God, who is the male, when he cohabits with Shekinah, the female, when they come together and do this little deal, that's when this glory is released. Okay? This is why there are seducing spirits, and this is why they are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness in the churches right now. And they start and this is why they're teaching Shekinah. It's the idea that the God, the yin, is coming together with the yang. The opposites are fusing together. And it's going to give this glory release and this big, you know, this big, big pep rally thing that's going on in church. And it's just wicked as a summer day is long is what it is. But that doctrine has permeated in most areas of Bible Christianity. But it is not biblical. And you can't convince people of that. You can't. I've run up against people. And they said, it's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. Well, you know, in the original Hebrew, it says there is a word in Hebrew that's in the Old Testament that is the male version of that word. But the Shekinah is the female version of that. It's a goddess. And you cannot convince people of that. And they're teaching doctrines inside of the church that are not supported and they're not given scripture. And I want to tell you something. From such, turn away. Can I get an amen out of somebody? From such, turn away. If the doctrines that are being taught cannot be supported by the scripture, turn away from them. Okay? Because it's easy to follow stuff that's not biblical. And anybody can make it sound right. But anyway, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. It's all about money. It's all about the dollar bills coming in. It's all about getting rich and having a lavish lifestyle. It's all about having new cars and new merchandise. And it's all about having a house here and a house at Lake of the Ozarks, having your own personal jet. Kenneth Copeland's not only got his own personal jet, he's also got his own airport. He built an airport out at his ranch in Texas. He does not even have to go to the airport and go through the security like you and I do. He has a limo pick him up from his house, carries him over across the ranchway to his own private airstrip to get on his private jet to fly around all the world and spread puke all over the world. Okay? That he has, through covetousness, made merchandise of everybody that sent him a dollar bill. He's made merchandise out of them. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I want us to go down to verse 10. Chiefly them that he's defining who these false prophets are, how they are, what they do. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. You get these guys up on stage. Who was it? Ed Young Jr., one of these big hip hop preachers. And he gets up there and he has a bed on the stage of his church, a bed. And he talks about in his sermon that sex is worshiping God. That's lasciviousness. And anybody who gets up behind a pulpit like that and goes for Sunday after Sunday teaching on things like that, that makes, I'll tell you what. And I caught on to this the first time, and this happened several years ago. One of these pastors that was trying to be cool everywhere, he makes big headlines all over the country because he's going to have a Bible study group at Hooters restaurant. Okay? And he's justifying it, saying, well, we're just going where everybody is and this, and that, and the other. We're trying to be cool, trying to show everybody we're not a threat. And I'm going, I know who you are. Amen. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure out guys like that. You can figure them out because it says they walk after the flesh and the lust, of uncleanness. Amen. Okay. I do not go to Hooters for Bible studies, hot wings, or fries, or anything else. Okay. I don't go there. I've never been in one. Okay? Don't go in that place. Somebody say amen. And by the way, they'll despise government. They'll despise government. Now, I want to tell you something. I am not for the policies of Barack Hussein Obama. Okay? I am not for his policies. I am not for his politics. I'm not for what he's wanting to do with the country. But he is the president of the United States. And I got some people out there that don't like it when I talk like this. He's the president of the United States. I don't like the governor of the state of Missouri. I thought maybe, since he was raised around here, that he'd have a little sense. Okay? I do not like his policies. I don't like his politics. I don't like the things that he stands for. I don't like that stuff. He's the governor of the state of Missouri. Who put him in that office? Okay? And if you can show me otherwise from the Bible, I'll believe it. Okay? But I want to tell you something. And let me ask you this. Okay? Let me ask you this. Okay? If Barack Obama came out tomorrow in a big press conference and announced that he was God, how would that make you feel? Sick? Okay? If he announced that he was God and believed it, okay, how would that make you feel? Okay, well, I'd say, you know what? The real God wrote that down. Okay? Can I tell you something? Let me tell you who Paul lived under. The authority and dominion that Paul lived under. He lived under the authority and dominion of who? Rome, of Caesar, who was, according to his own mind, he was God. And you'll never see in the scriptures where Paul was trying to raise up an army to overthrow Caesar. He was not out preaching that we need to overthrow the Roman government because it's corrupt. He was not out preaching, you don't have to listen to magistrates. You don't have to listen to governors. You don't have to listen to deputies. You don't have to listen to sergeants. You don't have to listen to soldiers. You don't have to listen to these rascals because they're corrupt. They're all pagans and you don't have to come under their authority. What you see is the opposite. Paul used Roman law. He used Roman law because he was a citizen of Rome, an earthly citizen of Rome. Okay? And I know the CIA is corrupt. I know the IRS is corrupt. I stir you up, amen. I know we're linked into the United Nations, which is corrupt. That's not what the designers of our country had in mind. Okay? I know it's wicked, and I know all of that stuff. Okay? But the Bible, in realms of government, cannot and should not be contradicted by born-again, Bible-believing Christians just because you don't like it and just because you don't like what's going on in Washington, D.C. Watch out for those who despise government. That word government literally means realms of authority. Okay? And you got people running around who call themselves fundamentalist Christians. They didn't say, well, we're King James Bible believers. They will not be under any earthly authority, and that is wrong. God gives us in this world realms of authority. They will not be under any one of them. It is rebellion. It is rebellion. Now, if the government, if they came in here and they said, here's our law right here. It says you cannot preach against sodomites ever again in your church. You can arrest me right there. I start preaching it right then. When the world's governments will try to force us to break God's law, there's a difference. But I'm just going to ask you a question. Is there anything going on in our country right now, that forces Christians to violate anything out of this Bible? Can we still go knock doors? Can we stand out here on the street corner and preach? Can we pass out tracts? OK, Okay? Can we keep our kids out of public school and homeschool them? Do we have to get an abortion after two kids? So far, as I know, there's nothing being delivered to us from our government that is forcing us to violate the laws of God. And until they do, we have to respect the governments that we're under. Okay? I'm going to get emails for this. Okay? And what I'm going to tell you is that if you don't like what I said and you don't agree with what I said, then you go tell God and you search the Scriptures. You search them. Okay? When you search the Scriptures, God will give you the answer. Is that fair enough? Okay? They despise government. They despise any kind of earthly authority. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. And they say they support the King James Bible. The truth of it is they don't even support that. They don't want the Bible. They're just unruly and rebellious. They're presumptuous. Now I'm going to dig into some of us. Okay, you know what presumptuous is? I can sin now, God will pay it later. That's presumptuousness. Okay? I gave this illustration the other day. It'd be like me calling up Brady. Brady, let's go to the Chinese restaurant over here. Let's get us a bite to eat. Okay? And we get over there and we get about three or four plates full and we're just shoveling the food in. And the lady comes by with the check and lays down on the table and I get up and leave. Brady will pay it. Brady's sitting there going, I didn't bring any money. I thought he was going to pay. Okay? That's presumptuousness. And the devil will try to con us into all kinds of presumptuousness. Can I hear you say amen? He's all the time knocking at our door saying, remember that grace thing? Sin now, God pays later. Okay? 90 days, same as grace. Right? That's presumptuousness. And it's a sin. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. This is why they despise governments. They despise any kind of earthly realm authority. Okay? And they put it in a cloak of spirituality by saying, well, I only obey God. No, you don't. Because God tells us to obey earthly magistrates as long as they don't cause us to break God's law. God tells us that. Okay? You are self-willed when you decide that it's your way and nobody else's way. By the way, self-will will kill your marriage. Can I hear somebody say amen? Let's just apply it in other realms of life. Self-will will kill your marriage. I don't care if you are the husband. I don't have to do what my wife says. Really? Let me know how that works. Amen! Let me know how that works. I wear pants in my house. I don't do what my wife tells me to do. And it's obvious. Okay? You're not being a man. You're just being rebellious. God gave you a good wife that's got half a brain that's as good or better than yours. Okay? You ought to listen to it every now and then. She's not all stupid. Amen? Same way, ladies. Amen? Amen. Self-willed. Okay? Self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They will lash out against those who are, and that word dignity has a lot to do with those who have like an office or a place of authority or anything like that. And that's just the world that we live in. Okay? If he came into this church today, I would refer to him as Mr. President. I would refer to him as Mr. President. That is the title that has been given to him by the laws of this country. Okay? And as Americans, we ought to thank God that we don't have to call him my Lord the way they do in England. Okay? We don't have lords in this country. Did you notice that? Nobody is given a grant or a title of lordship in this country. That's because our founders had an idea that there was going to be one Lord over America. Okay, and that was Jesus. But anyway, boy, I'll tell you what, I know I'm in trouble already. I love you, but I love the Bible more than you. Okay? And that's what I do. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Did you know that? I want to go over to the book of Jude. Okay? Go over to the book of Jude. Look at Jude verse 8. Jude is a companion to 2 Peter chapter 2. Likewise also these filthy dreamers. You know who that is? That's fantasizers. Men and women, you're sitting here, we're all adults here. Better get your mind back where it needs to be. Amen? The more you fantasize, the more you'll want to act out on it. Remember why God busted them up at Babel? Because what they imagined to do, they would go ahead and do. The Bible says, cast down imaginations. Cast down your filthy dreams. Get all the fantasies out of your mind and out of your life. Okay? And don't feed them either. Don't feed your fantasies. Anyway, these are filthy dreamers. They defile the flesh. They do what? To dominion. That's exactly what he said over here in 2 Peter. They despise governments. Here, the Bible is defining itself. It's saying they despise dominion. Anything that has dominion over you. And they speak evil of dignities. There it is again. Okay? Now I want you to look at this in verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel. Michael, as far as we know, was one of the top dog angels in heaven. Okay? There was one over him whose name was Lucifer. Okay? Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now I want to tell you, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Okay? Just friend to friend. One of the things that I really like is to have a church where I can teach what's in this Bible. I really like that. I'm enjoying the ministry and I'm enjoying the work and have had for a long time here. It hasn't always been this case. Every now and then somebody gets mad at what I say. And I'll be dead honest with you. That bothers me. It really does. I mean, if you just want to know a few of my weaknesses, that's one of them. Okay? And I've tried to instill this over and over and over to the folk in our church or anybody out there listening or anything like that. It's just to get you to do something. Let's do this biblical. If you got a problem with anything that I've ever said from behind the pulpit, go tell God. Okay? Go tell God. Back in the days, when I was going to have a rock and roll concert in this church, some people went and told God. And God rebuked me, and God chastened me, and God put it in my heart to call it off. And I did. Okay? I had people praying for me that I would get my Bible straight. And when they prayed, God rebuked me, and God corrected me, and God brought me to this Bible right here. It wasn't you. It wasn't anybody else. It was the Holy Ghost. And I like it that way. Okay? Because I'll listen to the Holy Ghost. I promise you I will. But if you're in dispute with me or any other preacher for that matter, anybody else, if you're in dispute, okay, don't bring railing accusation against them. Don't do that. Go tell the Lord. And let the Lord... How many of you think that's a better idea than the one you came up with? I can tell you it is. Okay? It's a better idea. That way if the Lord... Listen to this now. Because if you come to me and chastise me and I think, you know, I'm just going to do what they say, you'll walk away. You'll be so stinking full of pride. I straighten Pastor Mike out. Okay? You know what? God will reject you. If you'll tell God... And God fixes me, you'll be humbled in that it wasn't you. It was the Lord. Or maybe you were the one that was wrong and God straightened you out and God changed you. And you wept and said, God, thank you. Thank you that I did not make a big scene in our church over this deal. Okay? Now, I love you and I love this church and I love what God has given to us here. I think we got it pretty good here. Can I hear you say amen? Yeah, I think we got good fellowship. There's a good spirit here and all this stuff. It's just that I open my mouth just about every day of the week and throw stuff out there. Every now and then, something I say is not going to be right. I'm a human. Get over it. Okay? And if it ain't, just pray for me. Because I promise you, if you know my heart, I want my heart to be in line with this book right here. And just because it's not in line with you, that don't mean a whole lot to me. But I want it to be in line with this book. Can I hear you say amen? I know the bell rang. See, here I am being unruly. The bell is authority. I better quit. Okay? Let's keep the time. Amen. But anyway, just let God have it. Let God have all the disputes. And by the way, take that to your marriage. Amen. Instead of you being a railing accuser in your marriage, if you don't like the fact your husband will not put the toilet lid down, okay, go tell God to change him, and you'll get up one day and you'll go, praise the Lord. Amen. You don't like the way you don't like how your wife fixes spaghetti? Pray for her. Amen. It works better that way. Somebody say amen. You'll stay married. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, Lord, for your word. It's, Lord, there's some people, dear God, that don't like some things. Lord, I have to admit, Lord, when I read some things in this book, I don't like it. My flesh hates it. And Lord, I need help. I need help, dear God, believing and discerning. I need help, dear God, Lord, with what this Bible has to say. And Father, Lord, so do all of us. None of us got it right, God. So we follow the Bible and we follow your word, dear God. And help us, dear God, not to be of those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Father, Lord, just help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.